listening to CPR, communitypublicradio.org. And this is Weekday World. I'm your host, Don DeBar. With a report of some of the news and events of the past 24 hours from the CPR Newsroom. From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
Today we bring you a special report. The entire UN Security Council meeting this past Saturday, which dealt with the U.S., U.K., and French bombing of Syria Friday night.
Declaro abierta la sesión número 8233rd
meeting of the Security Council is called to
order.
Orden
del día provisional para esta
the provisional
sesión
agenda for this meeting
tema.
Is
amenazas a la paz y
threats
seguridad
to international peace and security,
la situación en el Medio
the
Oriente.
Situation in the Middle East.
Queda aprobado el orden del día.
The agenda is adopted.
De conformidad con el artículo 37
del reglamento
provisional of
the Council's provisional rules of procedure, I invite the representative of the Syrian Arab Republic to participate in this meeting. It is so decided.
El Consejo de Seguridad iniciará ahora el examen del tema 2 del orden del día.
Of item 2 of the agenda.
Deseo dar una cordial bienvenida
I wish to warmly
al secretario
welcome
general,
the Secretary General, His Excellency
Mr.
Antonio
Guterres,
and I give him the floor.
Mr. President, Excellencies, I have been following closely the reports of airstrikes in Syria conducted by the United States, France, and the United Kingdom. Last night, at 22 hours of New York, the U.S. President announced the beginning of airstrikes with participation by France and the U.K., indicating they were targeting the chemical weapons capabilities of the Syrian government and to deter their future use. His statement was followed by announcements from Prime Minister May and President Macron. The airstrikes were reportedly limited to three military locations inside Syria. The first target included the Syrian Scientific Studies and Research Center at Al-Mazah Airport in Damascus. The second, an alleged chemical weapons storage facility west of Homs. and the third, an alleged chemical weapons equipment storage site and command post also near Homs. The Syrian government announced surface-to-air missile response activity. Both U.S. and Russian sources indicated there were no civilian casualties. The UN is, however, unable to independently verify the details of all these reports. Mr. President, as Secretary General of the United Nations, it is my duty to remind member states that there is an obligation, particularly when dealing with matters of peace and security, to act consistently with the Charter of the United Nations and with international law in general. The UN Charter is very clear on these issues. Mr. President, the Security Council has primary responsibility for the maintenance of international peace and security. I call on the members of the Security Council to unite and exercise that responsibility. And I urge all members to show restraint in these dangerous circumstances and to avoid any acts that could escalate matters and worsening the suffering of the Syrian people. As I did yesterday, I stressed the need to avoid the situation from spiraling out of control. Mr. President, any use of chemical weapons is abhorrent. The suffering it causes is horrendous. I have repeatedly expressed my deep disappointment that the Security Council failed to agree on a dedicated mechanism for effective accountability for the use of chemical weapons in Syria. I urge the Security Council to assume its responsibilities and fill this gap. And I will continue to engage with member states to help achieve this objective. A lack of accountability emboldens those who would use such weapons by providing them with the reassurance of impunity. And this, in turn, further weakens the norm proscribing the use of chemical weapons and international disarmament and non-proliferation architecture as a whole. Mr. President, the seriousness of the recent allegations of the use of chemical weapons in Douma requires a thorough investigation using impartial, independent, and professional expertise. I reaffirm my full support for the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, the OPCW, and its fact-finding mission in undertaking the required investigation. The team is already in Syria. I am informed that their operations plan to visit the site is completed and that they are ready to go. I am confident they will have full access without any restrictions or impediments to perform their activities. Mr. President, allow me to repeat what I said yesterday. Syria today represents the most serious threat to international peace and security. In Syria, we see confrontations and proxy wars involving several national armies, a number of armed opposition groups, many national and international militia, foreign fighters from everywhere in the world, and various terrorist organizations. From the beginning, we have witnessed systematic violations of international humanitarian law, international human rights law, and international law tout court in utter disregard of the letter and spirit of the United Nations Charter. For 8 long years, the people of Syria have endured suffering upon suffering. Syrians have lived through a litany of horrors, atrocity crimes, sieges, starvation, indiscriminate attacks against civilians and civilian infrastructure, the use of chemical weapons, forced displacement, sexual violence, torture, detention, and enforced disappearance. The list goes on. At this critical juncture, I call on all members to act consistently with the Charter of the United Nations and international law, including the norms against chemical weapons. If the law is ignored, it is undermined. There is no military solution to the crisis. The solution must be political. We must find ways to make credible progress towards a genuine and credible political solution that meets the aspirations of the Syrian people to dignity and freedom in accordance with Resolution 2254 and the Geneva Communique. I've asked my special envoy to come to New York as soon as possible to consult with me on the most effective way to accelerate the political process. Thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the Secretary General for his valuable briefing. I will now give the floor to those Council members who wish to make statements. I give the floor to the representative of the Russian Federation.
Thank you, sir. Russia called for this urgent meeting of the Security Council to discuss the aggressive actions of the United States and their allies against Syria. This is the fifth meeting on this topic just this week. The President of the Russian Federation, Putin, made a special statement today, and I will quote him. On the 14th of April, the United States, supported by its ally, launched an airstrike against military and civilian targets of the Syrian Arab Republic without a mandate from the United Nations Security Council and in violations of UN Charter and norms and principles of international law. An aggression against a sovereign state was carried out, which is on the front line in the fight against terrorism. Just as 1 year ago, when the Shayrat Air Base in Syria came under attack, the United States used as a pretext a staged chemical attack against civilians. This time in Duma, Damascus suburb. Now, Russian military experts did not find any traces of chlorine or any other toxic agent when they visited the site. Not a single local resident was able to confirm that a chemical attack had actually taken place. The Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons dispatched its experts to Syria in order to investigate all the circumstances. However, in a sign of cynical disdain, a group of Western countries decided to take military action without waiting for the results of the investigation. Russia condemns in the strongest possible terms the attack against Syria, where Russian military personnel are assisting the legitimate government in its counterterrorism efforts. Through its actions, the United States makes an already catastrophic humanitarian situation in Syria even worse and brings suffering to civilians. In fact, the U.S. panders to the terrorists who have been tormenting the Syrian people for 7 years, leading to a wave of refugees fleeing this country and the region. The current escalation around Syria is destructive for the entire system of international relations. History will deliver its verdict, and Washington already bears a heavy responsibility for the bloody outrage in Yugoslavia, Iraq, and Libya. End of quote. Russia has done everything possible to convince the United States and its allies to refrain from their military plans, which could lead to a new spiral of violence in Syria and destabilize the Middle East. The Secretary General of the UN, at the meeting of the Security Council that we convened yesterday and today, has expressed his concern about the way events have developed. However, in Washington, London, and Paris, preferred to disregard calls to appeals to common sense. The United States and its allies continue to demonstrate blatant disregard for international law. Although as permanent members of the Security Council, they must be especially firm in protecting the provisions of the UN Charter. It was shameful to hear how, in justifying the aggression, an article of the U.S. Constitution was mentioned. Now we have the greatest respect to the right of each state to respect their own founding law. However, Washington should learn, it's time for Washington to learn that the International Code of Behavior regarding the use of force is regulated by the United Nations Charter. It's interesting how the people of Great Britain and France, what they will think that when they find out that their government is taking part in an illegal military adventure by referring to the American Constitution. You're constantly tempted by neocolonialism. You have nothing but disdain for the UN Charter and the Security Council, which you are unjustifiably trying to use for your illicit aims. There's no serious work that you're doing in the Security Council. You don't consult us, and you mendaciously claim otherwise. You undermine the authority of the Security Council. As a pretext for aggression, you mention the alleged use of chemical weapons in the Syrian city of Duma. Representatives of Russia, after an inspection by our experts, unequivocally stated that no such incident took place. Furthermore, there were people found who took part in this staging. And in fact, the inspirers and organizers of that staging were foreign intelligence services. After this event, the Syrian authorities immediately invited experts from the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons so that they conduct a field mission to Duma in order to establish the facts. Quickly, visa formalities were resolved and guarantees of security were provided. At the time the strikes were conducted, experts were already in Syria and getting ready to begin their work. I want to recall to the members of the Security Council and everyone else that on the 10th of April, when our draft resolution on the secure work of the special mission of the OPCW was blocked, we were assured of the fact that such a document was not necessary. We were told that the mission, without any additional efforts by the Security Council, will go visit the site and conduct an investigation of the chemical incident. Now it is clear that we were absolutely right. Yesterday, some of our colleagues, some of them naively, some of them cynically, told us that the reason of the situation is supposedly a lack of an independent investigative mechanism. The aggression has shown that that is not the issue at all, as we stated. During last year's attack against the Shayrat Air Base, there was the joint investigative mechanism of the UN-OPCW that did not prevent the United States from conducting a missile strike. Afterwards, the JIM, in fact, made sure that its conclusions coincided with the reasons for the American strike. We have said many times, you don't need any investigations. You didn't need them then, and you don't need them today. The organizers of the aggression didn't even wait for the elementary establishment of facts by an international organization which is authorized to do that. They supposedly determine everything for themselves and determine who was guilty. After, given that they themselves, with the fighters that were under their control and NGOs that they control, they disseminated all kinds of rumors using social media. They confirmed this through so-called secret intelligence, mythical secret intelligence. Ladies and gentlemen, the masks, or rather white helmets, have once again fallen. We are already used to the fact that when they conduct their doubtful geopolitical policies, the countries that are aggressors already blame the regime of Assad. Lately, they tend to shift responsibility on Russia, which, according to their interpretation, cannot control the dictator. All this is based on a scheme that is well that has been well tried. There's a provocation, there's mendacious accusations, verdict, and punishment. This is how you want international affairs to be conducted now? This is hooliganism in international relations, and not minor hooliganism, given that we're talking about major nuclear powers. Several strikes were conducted against the Scientific Research Center in Barza and Jamraya. Recently, two inspections by the OPCW were conducted with unimpeded access to all facilities. Experts didn't find any traces of activity that would contravene the Chemical Weapons Convention. Scientific facilities in Syria are used only for peaceful activity, which is aimed at enhancing the effectiveness of economic activity in Syria. You want Syria to have no economy at all? You want to throw this country back into the Stone Age? Just a few years ago, this country was one of the most developed countries in the Middle East. You want to finish off what your sanctions haven't achieved yet? At the same time, you are shedding crocodile tears about the suffering of ordinary Syrians. Well, ordinary Syrians who are tired of war and who are happy that their legitimate authorities have freed their territory are not, you're not interested in their suffering. Your aggressive actions contribute to worsening the humanitarian situation, which you are so worried about, according to your statements.
In 24 hours, you could stop the conflict in Syria. For this, Washington, London, and Paris only have to give orders to their hand-picked terrorists to stop their fighting against the legitimate authorities and against their own people. The strikes were conducted against Syrian military airfields, which are being used in the course of an operation against terrorist organizations. It's quite an original contribution to the combat against international terrorism, as Washington keeps repeating, which, as Washington keeps repeating, is the only goal of its military presence in Syria. We have serious doubts about that. It seems that it's clear that those in the West who cover themselves with humanitarian rhetoric are trying to justify their action in Syria by supposedly to defeat the jihadists, are actually aiming at dividing, dismembering the country. This is confirmed by the fact that the United States has refused to take part in rebuilding the areas of Syria that have been freed from the jihadists. Lastly, your aggression is a major strike and threat against the possibility of continuing the political process under the UN auspices, which, in spite of objective difficulties, was moving forward at varying speeds. So what were your constant references to the Geneva process worth if you yourselves, using your own actions, are destroying that process? We call on the United States and its allies to immediately end the aggressive actions against Syria and to refrain from them in the future. We are putting forward for your attention a brief draft resolution, which we will demand a vote on at the end of this meeting. We would like to address the members of the Security Council. Today is not the time to shirk your responsibilities. The whole world is looking at you. Take a principled stand. Thank you.
I thank the representative of the Russian Federation for his statement, and I now give the floor to the representative of the United States.
Thank you, Mr. President, and thank you, Mr. Secretary General, for your briefing today. This is our fifth Security Council meeting in the past week to address the situation in Syria. A week has gone by in which we have talked. We've talked about the victims in Douma. We've talked about the Assad regime and its patrons, Russia and Iran. We've spent a week talking about the unique horror of chemical weapons. The time for talk ended last night. We're here today because three permanent members of the United Nations Security Council acted. The United Kingdom, France, and the United States acted, not as revenge, not as punishment, not as a symbolic show of force. We acted to deter the future use of chemical weapons by holding the Syrian regime responsible for its atrocities against humanity. We can all see that a Russian disinformation campaign is in full force this morning. But Russia's desperate attempts at deflection cannot change the facts. A large body of information indicates that the Syrian regime used chemical weapons in Douma on April 7th. There is clear information demonstrating Assad's culpability. The pictures of dead children were not fake news. They were the result of the Syrian regime's barbaric inhumanity. And they were the result of the regime and Russia's failure to live up to their international commitments to remove all chemical weapons from Syria. The United States, France, and the United Kingdom acted after careful evaluation of these facts. The targets we selected were at the heart of the Syrian regime's illegal chemical weapons program. The strikes were carefully planned to minimize civilian casualties. The responses were justified, legitimate, and proportionate. The United States and its allies did everything we could to use the tools of diplomacy to get rid of Assad's arsenal of chemical weapons. We did not give diplomacy just one chance. We gave diplomacy chance after chance, six times That's how many times Russia vetoed Security Council resolutions to address chemical weapons in Syria. Our efforts go back even further. In 2013, the Security Council passed a resolution that required the Assad regime to destroy its stockpile of chemical weapons. Syria committed to abide by the Chemical Weapons Convention, meaning it could no longer have chemical weapons on its soil. President Putin said Russia would guarantee that Syria complied. We hoped that this diplomacy would succeed in putting an end to the horror of chemical attacks in Syria. But as we see from the past year, that did not happen. While Russia was busy protecting the regime, Assad took notice. The regime knew it could act with impunity, and it did. In November, Russia used its veto to kill the Joint Investigative Mechanism, the main tool we had to figure out who used chemical weapons in Syria. Just as Russia was using its veto, the Assad regime used sarin, leading to dozens of injuries and deaths. Russia's veto was the green light for the Assad regime to use these most barbaric weapons against the Syrian people, in complete violation of international law. The United States and our allies were not going to let that stand. Chemical weapons are a threat to us all. They are a unique threat, a type of weapon so evil that the international community agreed they must be banned. We cannot stand by and let Russia trash every international norm that we stand for and allow the use of chemical weapons to go unanswered. And just as the Syrian regime's use of chemical weapons last weekend was not an isolated incident, our response is part of a new course chartered last year to deter future use of chemical weapons. Our Syrian strategy has not changed. However, the Syrian regime has forced us to take action based on their repeated use of chemical weapons. Since the April 2017 chemical attack at Khan Shaykhun, the United States has imposed hundreds of sanctions on individuals and entities involved in chemical weapons use in Syria and North Korea. We have designated entities in Asia, the Middle East, and Africa that have facilitated chemical weapons proliferation. We have revoked the visas of Russian intelligence officers in response to the chemical attack in Salisbury. We will continue to seek out and call out anyone who uses and anyone who aids in the use of chemical weapons. With yesterday's military action, our message was crystal clear. The United States of America will not allow the Assad regime to continue to use chemical weapons. Last night, we obliterated the major research facility that it used to assemble weapons of mass murder. I spoke to the president this morning, and he said if the Syrian regime uses this poisonous gas again, the United States is locked and loaded. When our president draws a red line, our president enforces the red line. The United States is deeply grateful to the United Kingdom and France for its part in the coalition to defend the prohibition of chemical weapons. We worked in lockstep. We were in complete agreement. Last night, our great friends and indispensable allies shouldered a burden that benefits all of us. The civilized world owes them its thanks. In the weeks and months to come, the Security Council should take time to reflect on its role in defending the international rule of law. The Security Council has failed in its duty to hold those who use chemical weapons to account. That failure is largely due to Russian obstruction. We call on Russia to take a hard look at the company it keeps and live up to its responsibilities as a permanent member of the Council and defend the actual principles the United Nations was meant to promote. Last night, we successfully hit the heart of Syria's chemical weapons enterprise. And because of these actions, we are confident we have crippled Syria's chemical weapons program. We are prepared to sustain this pressure if the Syrian regime is foolish enough to test our will. Thank you.
I want to thank the representative of the United States for your statement, and I now give the floor to the representative of the United Kingdom.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, these are uncertain times, and today we deal with exceptional circumstance. Acting with our American and French allies, in the early hours of this morning, the United Kingdom conducted coordinated, targeted, and precise strikes to degrade Assad's chemical weapons capability and deter their future use. The British Royal Air Force launched Storm Shadow missiles at a military facility some 15 miles west of Homs, where the regime is assessed to keep chemical weapons in breach of Syria's obligations under the Chemical Weapons Convention. A full assessment has not yet been completed, but we believe the strikes to be successful. Furthermore, none of the British, US or French aircraft or missiles involved in this operation were successfully engaged by Syrian air defences, and there is also no indication that Russian air defence systems were employed. Our action was a limited, targeted and effective strike. There were clear boundaries that expressly sought to avoid escalation, and we did everything possible, including rigorous planning before any action was undertaken, to ensure that we mitigated and minimised the impact on civilians. Together, our action will significantly degrade the Syrian regime's ability to research, develop and deploy chemical weapons and deter their future use. The UK Prime Minister has said, "We are clear about who is responsible for the atrocity of the use of chemical weapons. A significant body of information, including intelligence, indicates the Syrian regime is responsible for the attack we saw last Saturday. Some of the evidence that leads us to this conclusion is as follows. There are open source accounts alleging that a barrel bomb was used to deliver the chemicals. Multiple open source reports claim a regime helicopter was observed above the city of Douma on the evening of 7th of April. The opposition does not operate helicopters, nor does it use barrel bombs. And reliable intelligence indicates that Syrian military officials coordinated what appears to be the use of chlorine in Douma on 7th of April. Mr. President, no other group could have carried out this attack. Indeed, Daesh, for example, does not even have a presence in Douma. The Syrian regime has been killing its own people for 7 years. Its use of chemical weapons, which has exacerbated the human suffering, is a serious crime of international concern as a breach of the customary international law prohibition on the use of chemical weapons, and this amounts to a war crime and a crime against humanity. Any state is permitted under international law on an exceptional basis to take measures in order to alleviate overwhelming humanitarian suffering. The legal basis for the use of force for the United Kingdom is humanitarian intervention, which requires three conditions to be met. Number one, that there is convincing evidence, generally accepted by the international community as a whole, of extreme humanitarian distress on a large scale, requiring immediate and urgent relief. I think the debates in this council and the briefings we have had from OCHA and others have proved that. Secondly, it must be objectively clear that there is no practicable alternative to the use of force if lives are to be saved. I think the vetoes have shown us that. And thirdly, the proposed use of force must be necessary and proportionate to the aim of relief of humanitarian suffering and must be strictly limited in time and in scope to this aim. And I think we have heard, both in my intervention and in Ambassador Haley's, how that has also been met. The history of the Syrian conflict is a litany of threats to peace and in violations of international law. Security Council has met 113 times since the Syrian war started. It was therefore not for want of international diplomatic effort that we find ourselves in this position today. After a pattern of chemical weapons use since the outbreak of the conflict, Assad defied the international community in 2013 by launching a sarin gas attack on eastern Ghouta, which left more than 800 people dead. despite the adoption of Resolution 2118, despite 4 years of patient engagement, Syria continues to use chemical weapons against its people and has failed to answer a long list of serious questions. The only conclusion we can reach is that Syria had not declared or destroyed all of its chemical weapons despite its obligations under the Chemical Weapons Convention. This is not assertion on our part, but a matter of record. And I draw the Russian ambassador's attention to his points about Barzan and Jumraya. The OPCW still has unanswered questions and discrepancies. He knows this. We all know this. The Council was briefed by the OPCW Director General. Resolution 2118 decides in the event of non-compliance to impose measures under Chapter 7 of the Charter. Yet on 28th of February last year, when the UK together with France proposed a resolution taking measures under Chapter 7 short of the use of force, Russia vetoed. The very least this Council should have been able to do, Mr. President, was to follow up on the findings of the Jim report by extending its mandate. Yet four times, Russia has vetoed different proposals from different Council members to do just that. The Syrian regime and its supporters are responsible for the gravest violations of international humanitarian law in modern history. They have used indiscriminate weapons, notably barrel bombs and cluster munitions, against civilians, and they have deliberately targeted medical facilities and schools, as well as humanitarian personnel and civilian objects. They have used sieges and starvation as methods of warfare, accompanied by attacks on opposition-held civilian areas. The regime has persistently obstructed humanitarian aid and medical evacuations. Tens of thousands of people have been illegally detained, tortured, and executed by the regime. This is one of the most serious challenges to the international non-proliferation regime we have ever faced. A state party has violated the Chemical Weapons Convention, it has defied the Security Council, and it has broken international law. Repeated attempts over several years to hold them to account have been met with Russian obstruction and resistance. We have repeatedly, in this Council, attempted to overcome this obstruction without success. Mr. President, we are faced with a litany of violations, no sense of guilt, no sense of regret, no sense of responsibility, a shameful record wrapped in a mix of denial, deceit, and disinformation. Mr. President, I would invite those like the Russian ambassador who speak about the Charter to consider the following. It is hard to believe that it is in line with the principles and purposes of the Charter to use or condone the use of chemical weapons. And in the United Kingdom's view, it cannot be illegal to use force to prevent the killing of such numbers of innocent people. I will take no lessons, Mr. President, in international law from Russia. Despite all this, Mr. President, we would like to look forward. The United Kingdom, together with France and the US, will continue to pursue a diplomatic resolution to the Syrian crisis. My French colleague will say more about our work in a few moments. We believe it must comprise four elements. One, Syria's chemical weapons program must be ended and the chemical weapons stockpiles destroyed once and for all. Two, there must be an immediate cessation of hostilities and compliance with all Security Council resolutions, and these include those which mandate humanitarian access. Three, the regime must return to the Geneva talks and agree to engage on the substantial agenda put forward by the UN Special Envoy, Staffan de Mistura. Four, finally, there must be accountability for the use of chemical weapons and other war crimes in Syria. Mr. President, the Secretary General rightly highlighted the political process. We propose that as the Security Council will all be together next weekend, in the retreat with the Secretary General, very kindly hosted by Sweden, that we should use that opportunity to reflect on next steps and the way back to the political process. And with our allies, we stand ready to work with all members on the Security Council towards this end. Thank you.
Le agradezco a la representante del Reino Unido por su declaración y le doy la palabra al representante de Francia.
Monsieur le Président,
Mr. President,
une semaine après le massacre chimique
a week
de la Douma,
after the chemical weapons attack in Douma dernière, and the day after yesterday's strikes, let me
ceux qui font mine de s'interroger
say yet again to those who are still wondering, France has absolutely no doubt about the Assad regime's responsibility in this attack.
Nous avons rendu public ce matin
this morning,
une notice d'information
we published
collectée par nos services
the
de renseignement.
Report of our intelligence services.
Nous y renvoyons ceux qui tentent
and we would
une
ask those who yet again are challenging the evidence and distorting the facts in the eyes of the world to review that information.
Mr.
President, for years,
Bashar
al-Assad, with the active support of his allies, has carried out a strategy of destruction aimed at crushing all opposition, flouting the most basic principles of humanity, and at the cost of hundreds of thousands of civilian lives in Syria. We've seen this in Aleppo, Homs, in eastern Ghouta. For years, the Syrian regime has used the most terrifying weapons of mass destruction, chemical weapons, to massacre and terrorize its civilian population. We've seen a further demonstration of this in Douma, as we had seen in the past in Khan Cheikhoun, in Sarmin, in Talmenes, or even in Khmenas, where its responsibility was clearly established through the UN and OPCW GIM. No one can say that they did not know. For years, the Syrian regime has systematically and repeatedly violated all of its international obligations. The list of its violations is long. It is overwhelming. We are all familiar with them. Violations of all international obligations on chemical weapons under the CWC, to which Syria has been party since 2013, and of the Geneva Protocol of 1925, which bans the use of these weapons against civilians. The violations of the very underpinnings of international humanitarian law, which are the principles of distinction, precaution, and proportionality. Violations of successive Security Council resolutions 2118, 2209, 2235, and in this way, obligations under the UN Charter. The use of chemical weapons against the civilian population is tantamount to a war crime in accordance with the statutes of the ICC. The Secretary General of the United Nations in August of 2013 qualified the use of chemical weapons as a crime against humanity. In the face of repeated and confirmed violations by the Damascus regime of all rules underpinning our security, France has constantly called for a strong response from the international community. We have carried out all possible efforts to ensure that these horrors do not go unanswered in the UN and in the OPCW and that they must be stopped. The Security Council, through its successive resolutions 2118, 2209, 2235, has been committed to imposing coercive measures under UN Charter Chapter 7 in the case of new violations. The Security Council was unable to act in accordance with its commitments due to the systematic negative vote, the veto used by Russia. Systematically using its veto in the Security Council and in so doing it has betrayed the commitment it took in 2013 in this Council to guarantee the destruction of the Syrian chemical arsenal. The stalemate in the Security Council in the face of mass atrocities committed in Syria is a deadly and dangerous trap and we must get out of it. Mr. President, when it ordered the chemical attack on the 7th of April, the Syrian regime knew full well what it was doing. Once again, it wanted to test the threshold of the international community's tolerance, and it found it. In the face of this attack on the principles and the values and the laws underpinning the action of the United Nations, silence is no longer a solution. We can no longer tolerate the trivialization of the use of chemical weapons, which is an immediate danger to the Syrian people and to our collective security. We cannot let the deadly genie of proliferation out of the bottle. We clearly warned the Assad regime and its allies that such a transgression would not go unanswered. We have kept our word and we have acted in accordance with our responsibility. We have done so in a controlled and transparent fashion, making sure that we avoid any escalation with current actors on the ground. The President of the Republic and the Minister of Foreign Affairs have spoken on this subject. Some who for years have flouted the most basic rules of international law today are affirming that our action runs counter to the UN Charter. And I would remind them that that charter was not designed in order to protect criminals. Our action is in line, fully in line, with the goals and values proclaimed even in the first lines of the UN Charter. Our organization's mission is, and I quote, to establish conditions under which justice and respect for the obligations arising from treaties and other sources of international law can be maintained, end of quote. This action was indeed necessary in order to face the repeated violations by the Syrian regime of its obligations stemming from law, from treaties, and from its own commitments. And finally, our response was designed as a proportionate and precise response with specific targets, the main research center of the CW program and two major production sites were also struck. The capacity to develop, to perfect, and produce chemical weapons in Syria has now been put out of service. That was the only objective, and that objective has been reached. Mr. President, my country knows firsthand the devastating effects of chemical weapons which were used in the First World War. We can now no longer allow for impunity for the use of chemical weapons. We will never step down. We will continue to seek to identify those responsible and bring them to justice. That is the purpose behind the Partnership Against Impunity, which we launched last January. Mr. President, allow me to insist on this point. Last night's strikes are a necessary response given the chemical massacres in Syria. They are a response in line with law and our political strategy to put an end to the Syrian tragedy. To be more specific, we have four imperatives on the Syrian issue, four imperatives which are in the immediate interest of the Syrians, but also in the interest of the entire international community, as the UN Secretary General reminded us, and I thank him for his briefing. Allow me to recall them here. Firstly, the dismantling of the Syrian chemical program in a verifiable and irreversible way. This is essential. We must spare no effort to set up an international attribution mechanism, prevent impunity, and stop any repeat attempts by the Syrian regime. Secondly, we must eradicate terrorism by defeating Daesh once and for all. This is a long-standing commitment, but it requires genuine efforts to ensure an ultimate victory. Thirdly, ceasefire throughout the Syrian territory and humanitarian access to the civilian populations as required by Security Council resolutions. We must have full and unfettered humanitarian access in order to aid suffering people in accordance with Resolution 2401. It is absolutely essential and urgent for humanitarian convoys to reach Eastern Ghouta on a daily basis in sufficient safety. Fourthly, we must have a crisis exit strategy with a lasting political solution. We can only resolve the Syrian crisis once and for all if there is an inclusive political solution on the basis of the full implementation of Security Council Resolution 2254. We have called for this for 7 years. It has never been so urgent to implement that resolution and to launch true negotiations under the auspices of the United Nations in order to achieve political transition in Syria. Mr. President, only this roadmap will enable us once and for all to get out of the Syrian stalemate. France is prepared, as of today, to work with all of those who are prepared to put every effort into this end. In that spirit and at the initiative of France and in line with the statement made by President Emmanuel Macron, in the very near future where we will be submitting a resolution with our British and American partners. Today, I would ask first and foremost Russia to call on Damascus to enter into a negotiated solution so that we can put an end once and for all to the long-lasting suffering of the civilian people in Syria. Thank you. I thank the representative of France for his statement, and I now give the floor to the representative of China.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to thank Mr. Secretary General for his briefing. Only yesterday, we were gathered here in this chamber for an open meeting on the situation in Syria, during which China made clear its position on the issue of Syria and expressed profound concern over the further escalation of the tensions in Syria and made a clarion call for a political solution to the issue of Syria. Here, I'd like to restate the following. China has consistently stood for peaceful settlement of disputes and against the use of force in international relations. We advocate respect for the sovereignty, independence, unity, and territorial integrity of all countries. Any unilateral military actions that circumvent the Security Council contravene the purposes and principles of the UN Charter, violate the basic norms enshrined in international law and those governing international relations, and would handicap the settlement of the Syria issue with new compounding factors. We urge all parties concerned to refrain from any move that may lead to a further escalation of the situation, return to the framework of international law, and solve the issue through dialogue and consultation. China considers it necessary to mount a comprehensive, impartial, and objective investigation of the suspected chemical weapon attack in Syria to arrive at a reliable conclusion that can withstand the test of history. Until that happens, no party must prejudge the outcome. To solve the Syria issue, there is no alternative to political settlement. The parties concerned in the international community should continue to support the role of the United Nations as the main mediator and work together unremittingly towards a political settlement of the issue of Syria. Mr. President, I'd like to restate China stands ready to continue its positive, constructive role in the effort towards a political settlement of the Syria issue in the interest of peace and stability in the Middle East and in the world at large. I thank you, Mr. President.
You're listening to Weekday World on CPR, Community Public Radio.org. I'm your host, Don DeBar.